Thank you, everyone. I am really sad that I cannot be with you in person today. As it was mentioned, I have a lot of traveling. I'm taking my son back to Emmaus Bible College as soon as this meeting is over, and we're driving out to do that. So I'm sad that I can't be physically with you, but I'm glad to be able to speak through Zoom in this way. We are in Acts chapter 28, and we're going to be beginning to read from verse 17, Acts chapter 28 and verse 17. I think this is the final message of your Acts series. You've been doing this for 4 months. Speaking about the sermons in the book of Acts, and this is the very last one. Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 17, it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. And so when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke out against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had done anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." They then said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect we know that it is spoken against everywhere." And so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. And so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been brought to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. And then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So this ends the book of Acts. And just for a very quick reference to think of the review of what this book has already taught us, this book can be outlined by the verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so you can easily break up this book of Acts into 3 sections. The witness that was carried on in Jerusalem from Acts chapters 1 to 6, and then the witness that was in the north of Jerusalem in Judea and Samaria in Acts chapters 7 to 12, and then finally the witness to the world, mostly dealing with the ventures of the Apostle Paul, from Acts chapter 11 to the end of the book. But there's another way to break up this book, and that is through the sermons in Acts, the sermons that you have been thinking about over the last 4 months. And the first 9 chapters of this book deal with sermons that were focused mainly on the Jews. And then in chapters 10 to 20, you have sermons that were focused mainly on the Gentiles and the Samaritans. And then finally, the third part in Acts chapter 21 to the end of the book, you have sermons focused on the Apostle Paul, or actually I should say Paul was the one preaching these sermons. They were obviously, of course, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul is the main speaker in these last set of sermons in Acts 21 to chapter 28. Before we get to our text this morning, what I want to do is quickly review some of the major things that we learned in all of the sermons that you've gone over in the last 4 months. So just being very brief about it, the very first sermon was in Acts chapter 2. It was Peter preaching the sermon. It was on the day of Pentecost. It was the day that the Holy Spirit came down out of heaven and filled the apostles and the believers. It was the start of the dispensation of the church. And the message of the church was proclaimed by the Apostle Peter, and that was that the Lord Jesus Christ, who had died, was now risen from the dead. And so the proclamation of the book of Acts is that Jesus is alive, that he has risen from the dead. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Peter says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And so the message of the church, first off, is that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. This was the message that Judaism rejected. They refused to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. And then the second message delivered by Peter in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, this is when Peter was at the temple in Jerusalem. And this message was preached in response to Peter healing a man who could not walk. And at that time, the message of the church is summed up in chapter 3 and verse 19, where we read, Peter says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And so the message of the church is that people need to repent, and that there is salvation, and that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And then there was a third message given. Peter spoke to the Sanhedrin. This is now in Acts chapter 4, and beginning in verse 5. And this message was preached as the result of being arrested. Peter was arrested for preaching Christ. And so you had a series of events. Peter heals a lame man. He preaches to the crowd about repentance and salvation found in Christ. And then he's arrested for preaching that message. And he is brought the next day before the Sanhedrin. These would be the leaders of the Jews. He preaches there, and the message that he preaches could be summed up in chapter 4 and verse 12. And there we read a well-known verse. Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And so once again, the message of the church is that salvation is found in none other. I'm going to stop for a moment to just think about these messages. Salvation is found in none other. Repentance and salvation is in Christ. Jesus is both Lord and Christ. All of these things are dependent on whether Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That was the central thing that was preached in the early church. And it is the thing that needs to be preached even today in our generation, these so many centuries later. Jesus Christ is alive, and if he's alive, the implications are huge. The implication is that he's Lord and he's Christ. The implication is that he can offer salvation, and that there is salvation found in none other name except for the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus. The next message, this is the fourth message that was preached, and once again, it's to the Jews. It's in Acts chapter 7. This time, Stephen is the preacher, And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches a very long message. It's the result of being arrested on false charges. He was accused of saying things against Moses. That's found in chapter 6 and verse 11. He was accused of saying things against the temple. That's found in verse 13 of chapter 6. And he was accused of being against Judaic traditions. That's in verse 14 of chapter 6. And so he was accused of serious offenses to the Jews, of being against Moses, against the temple, and against the Jewish traditions. Incidentally, when we come to the end of the book of Acts, Paul is going to be accused of those same very things. He has to defend himself against these accusations. Well, Stephen preached a history lesson on how in the Old Testament, the Jews always resisted the Holy Spirit and persecuted the prophets who predicted the coming of Christ. And so the message of the church in Peter's sermon was that the temple, the rituals at the temple, the priesthood were not necessary to approach God. Salvation was not found in these rituals, not found in the priesthood, not found in the temple, but it was found only in Jesus Christ. And so those are the main sermons in the first part of the book of Acts, the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts. And they were focused on the Jews. So the gospel went out first to the Jews, and then to Samaria and the Judea, and then finally to the Gentiles. Well, in this, in these sermons, beginning in chapter 10, we now have a series of sermons focused on the Gentiles. In the first one, Peter is once again preaching in Acts chapter 10. This begins in verse 28. And before this sermon, there was a lot of persecution among the early believers. And the persecution caused the early believers to scatter out of Jerusalem and go north. Some went towards Samaria. Some went towards Judea. Philip, the evangelist, in Acts chapter 8, he went to Samaria and he preaches the gospel to the Samaritans, and some Samaritans come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on in Acts chapter 8, Philip is led to speak to an Ethiopian official, and he leads that Ethiopian official to Jesus Christ. And then we have the story in chapter 9 of Paul being converted. Paul was going to be the main apostle to the Gentiles and was going to open up the door by going to Gentile territory and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all these stories precede this message that Peter preaches in Acts chapter 10. When we get to Acts chapter 10, or shortly before it, Peter is traveling northward. He's left Jerusalem. He goes to a place called Lydda and then to Joppa. And there are some stories in Acts chapter 9 about his ventures there and the things that happened there. And then in Caesarea, he encounters another man, a man known as Cornelius. He was a Gentile, and he preaches the gospel to this man, to his family, to his household, and to all who gathered in his household. And the message of the church can be summed up into several things that are said in this particular sermon. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, God does not show favoritism towards anyone. And that's a good lesson for us to remember in our generation today. God does not favor one nation over another. God does not favor one race or one ethnic group over another. He doesn't show favoritism to anyone. And then in Acts 10, verse 38, Jesus went about doing good and healing. And then in chapters 10, verses 40 to 41, he rose from the dead. He is the judge of all, verse 42, and by him, he is the means in which anyone can receive forgiveness of sins, Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. So this sermon that Peter preached to Cornelius really highlights many encouraging things that would make the Gentiles glad. He is the judge of all, and he is the means in which anyone can receive forgiveness of sin. And then we have the next sermon, and this sermon is in chapter 11. This is Peter now. Peter is in Jerusalem, and he's preaching a sermon. Remember, this has now happened after Peter has gone to a Gentile home and has preached the gospel inside a Gentile home. So Peter is accused of defilement. This is chapter 11, verse 3. And so Peter recounts what happened in Caesarea, the vision that he had, the message from God not to call unclean what God has cleansed. And the response of Peter to what God had done was in chapter 11, verse 17, "Who am I to stand in God's way?" And when the Jerusalem believers heard Peter preach this message, they respond and they say, "Who are we to object? If God has taken what is unholy and has cleansed it, who are we to object to that, to what God is doing?" And so the central issue that was being addressed was the issue of how a person becomes holy. And now God was the one who was going to save people. God was the one who was going to make people holy. Then you have the next message given in chapter 13. And this message now is the first of the Apostle Paul. And he is at Antioch of Pisidia. The background of this message in Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 16, the background is the persecution of believers that were in Jerusalem. And that persecution is seen in Acts chapter 12. The center of Christian activity was now being shifted out of Jerusalem because of the persecution and was going to a place called Antioch of Syria. Now, Antioch of Syria is the Antioch that many of us are very familiar with. It's where Paul and Barnabas were sent out to do their missionary activities. But the Antioch where Paul was preaching in chapter 13 is actually in another place, a place called Pisidia. And if I can bring up very quickly a screenshot of that, I think I can do that. Let's see if that's the right one. Where are we here? I seem to be frozen. Okay, there we go. All right, so right in the, this is not, here's Antioch in Syria, and Antioch in Pisidia is gonna be right over here, sort of in the middle of where modern day Turkey is right now. And so that is the place where Paul is preaching in Acts chapter 13. Paul goes on his first missionary journey, and eventually he arrives in this place, Antioch of Pisidia, and he begins by preaching in the synagogues. This is Acts 13, verse 14, and he recounts the history of Israel right up to King David, and then proclaims Jesus to be David's greater son and to be the savior of the world. He preaches of the greatness of Jesus, and despite his greatness, yet he was killed, and yet God raised him from the dead. Once again, the main message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he preaches that through Jesus there is forgiveness of sins. And this is being preached in Antioch of Pisidia in the synagogue to Jews. And the Jews are very curious and very interested in the message about this greater son of David who was raised from the dead. And when this sermon was over, in Acts 13, verse 42, the Gentiles who were outside the synagogue, they started to beg Paul for an opportunity to hear the same message. And so the following week, the entire city gathers together to hear the message of the Apostle Paul. And this bothered the Jews very much, and they began to oppose the message that Paul was preaching. And yet the Gentiles were very glad to hear the message. The response of Paul and Barnabas is found in Acts 13, beginning in verse 46. The response is basically, listen, you Jews, you had an opportunity to embrace your Messiah, but because you didn't, because you reject him, the message of salvation is going to the Gentiles, that Jesus was to be a light to the Gentiles, and now salvation was out for all the ends of the earth to hear, and for the Gentiles to come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, all this talk about Gentiles coming to faith in Jesus Christ was posing great dilemmas for the early Jewish church. And in Acts chapter 15, there was a council of believers that met in Jerusalem. This is the next message, the next sermon that is proclaimed. This is the Apostle Peter now at the Jerusalem Council. The background to this message is Paul and Barnabas had returned from Antioch to report on their first missionary journey and how Gentiles came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. An argument started to arise as to whether Gentile converts needed to be circumcised, needed to follow some of the rituals that were taught in the law of Moses. And Peter preaches in Acts chapter 15 and verse 11 and says these words, "We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." And so Peter is preaching salvation by Jesus Christ, salvation by grace. And the council agreed not to add a burden such as circumcision to the message of the grace of God. So the book of Acts, through these sermons, are teaching us some of the most central and important teachings about salvation, about the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of grace. Salvation is by grace through faith. Then there was another message preached in chapter 20. This is now the Apostle Paul preaching. This is the final message in the series, in the second section of the book of Acts. So you had sermons by to the Jews in the first nine chapters, and then sermons that were focused on the Gentiles in Acts chapters 10 to 20. This is the last one. And Paul is preaching to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. This was after the second missionary journey that Paul took. He had gone this time to Philippi. He had gone to Thessalonica. He had gone to Athens, Berea, to Corinth, to Antioch, that area of southern Europe. And then he had gone on a third missionary journey. And he had gone to places in Galatia and in Ephesus and in Macedonia. That's where modern Greece is today, Troas. And finally, on his way back, he goes to a little place called Miletus. And in Miletus, he meets the Ephesian elders. He's going to say goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And in his message in Acts chapter 20, he tells us about three important things that the church needs to remember. The first is in Acts 20 and verse 28, to shepherd the assembly, the importance, the need of pastoral work, of caring for the assembly, for the people of God. The second is in the same verse, warning of wolves coming from the outside, outside the membership of the church, that would come in and would seek to devour the flock. And the third, in Acts 20 and verse 29, there was a warning of members from the assembly wanting to be leading over God's people. And these were the three warnings. And they're very pertinent for us today. We need people who will care for the assembly. We need to remember that there always are wolves from outside that want to attack and destroy the precious fellowship that we have. And thirdly, that there are people from within our fellowship that will want to take the lead, will want to be first, will want to call people to follow them. And these were the warnings that Paul preaches to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. That brings us to the third and final section of the book of Acts. Beginning in chapter 21, the focus is on the Apostle Paul. First in Acts chapter 22, Paul is at Jerusalem. He had just met with James and the elders in Jerusalem. He had been and then he was arrested at the temple. And he was arrested, accused of defiling the temple by bringing Gentiles into the temple. And Paul shares his testimony of his conversion and the call that God had given to him to go and preach to the Gentiles. And in Acts 22, beginning in verse 23, we learn that the crowd didn't want to hear this at all. Their ears were closed. They didn't want to hear the message of Paul's conversion and his call to preach to the Gentiles. And so Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin in chapter 23. And there he preaches another sermon. It's the next day. And he preaches to the Sanhedrin of chapter 23, verse 6, of the hope of the resurrection. So we read that verse in chapter 23. And verse 6, Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees, the others Pharisees. He cried out to the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged this day." And so he speaks about the hope of resurrection. This brought chaos to the Sanhedrin because there were Pharisees who believed in resurrection and there were Sadducees who did not. But the Lord stood by Paul and told Paul not to worry, that his message was going to be carried forth even to Rome, where he would have an opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next message is given in chapter 26, and this is a message Paul preaches to King Agrippa. There was a plot to kill Paul, and that was all it took for the Roman commanding officer to take Paul out of Jerusalem and brought Paul north to Caesarea. And in Caesarea, Paul appears before Felix, the governor of Caesarea, and he hears his case, but he doesn't do anything about what Paul is saying, and he keeps him locked up for 2 years. This is in chapter 23. For 2 years, Paul is locked up in Caesarea, and Festus becomes the new governor of Caesarea. And on one occasion, King Herod Agrippa, governor of Judah, came to visit Festus in Caesarea, and Festus tells Agrippa about this prisoner, Paul, and he doesn't know what to do about this prisoner. And so Agrippa agrees to hear the case, and Paul recounts in chapter 26 his background and says in chapter 26 and verse 8, "Why is it so hard for people to believe that God can raise the dead?" He talks about his conversion, his mission, and reminds King Agrippa of what the scriptures say, that Christ was to be a light to all, not just to Jews, but to Gentiles as well. Well, this message was a very stirring message, but there's another message. That is the final message given in Acts chapter 28 and verse 17. It is the message of the text that we read at the beginning of this sermon this morning. Paul had appealed to Rome, and so he journeyed to Rome. The journey included a storm and a shipwreck. He was a prisoner on a ship. He spent a few days on the island of Malta, and there were some stories that happened there. But eventually he reaches Rome. And in Rome, Paul calls on the Jewish leaders to meet with him. This is Acts chapter 28 beginning in verse 17. And he wanted to explain why he was in Rome and why he was a prisoner. He claims to have done nothing worthy of being arrested and handed over to the Romans. His testimony was that he lived like a law-abiding Jew when he was in Jewish company. But the problem is that when he was in Gentile company, he did not live like a law-abiding Jew. He regularly spent time with Gentiles and allowed them to become Christians without being yoked to the Jewish law. This is what caused so much controversy in Jewish circles. Now, in Rome, there was estimated to be around 20 to 50,000 Jews living in the Roman area. And despite all the opposition he had received, he still believed in the hope of Israel. He still believed that God had a purpose and a plan. In fact, when he wrote to the church in Rome, in chapter 11 of Romans, Romans chapter 11, verse 26, he says, "All Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And so he believes in the hope of Israel, that there's salvation, and that salvation will be found in their Messiah, in Jesus Christ. Well, the Jews in Rome, they hadn't heard of any controversy. See that in Acts 20 and verse 21. They didn't hear about, there was no letters sent to them about the Apostle Paul. They had not heard of any of these controversial things that Paul was speaking to them about. Now, it's possible that the Sanhedrin dropped the charges against Paul. Paul was a Roman citizen, and it's probable that the Sanhedrin knew that they couldn't win a case in Rome, and so it might be that the Jews in Rome didn't hear of these charges because they were dropped. But it's also possible that the news of Paul had not yet reached Rome. And either way, it doesn't really matter. The Jews in Rome were willing to hear the case of the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is going to preach one last time in this book. And the day is set for him to make the case. This is verse 23 of chapter 28. And he proclaims the gospel. And that was his great desire. Look at chapter 28, verse 20. He says, "For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you. Because of the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." And of course, the hope of Israel is bound up with the gospel. Look at verse 23. "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, and he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening." His desire was to proclaim the gospel, that this man, Jesus, fulfilled the requirements of the law, and he was the Messiah that they were waiting for. It's not the first time Rome heard the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 10, on the day of Pentecost, we find that there were some visitors from Rome who was there to hear the message of Peter. We learn from chapter 28, verses 14 and 15, that everyone everywhere was talking about this Christianity, this Christian sect, and they didn't know what to think or make of it. There were some bad things that were circulating around. They didn't know what to think of it. And so they listened patiently and quietly to the Apostle Paul from morning to night. And in Acts 28, verse 23, he opened the scriptures to them, the Old Testament scriptures, and showed them how Christ must suffer and die. And he became the Savior of the world. Now, the effect of this is that some people seemed to believe, and other people, they were not interested. They did not believe at all. Eventually, Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, and he does this in Acts 28, verse 26. He says, Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So Paul quotes from the book of Isaiah, and he identifies the Holy Spirit as the author of this passage in Isaiah. And as there was a rejection of the message in Isaiah's day in the 8th century BC, so there was a rejection of Paul's message in Roman time. And that was it. After Paul quoted that reference, the Jews lost interest. They lost interest, according to verse 27, because they had grown dull. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't care to listen. They were not interested in seeing. They had grown apathetic to the message. What was needed in Isaiah's day was humility and repentance, and it was needed in Jesus' day, and it was needed in Paul's day, as it is needed in our day today. Humility and repentance, a willingness to listen to the message, a willingness not to be apathetic to the message. But the Gentiles, well, they were all ears. They were ready to listen, but the Jews just didn't care. You know, at the end here, I want to just make some concluding remarks. I know our time is gone, but from Pentecost to Jerusalem, to Paul in Rome, the record of Acts recounts the message of Christianity. It is the message of the resurrection of Jesus. He is both Lord and Christ. He is the Son of David. He is the Savior, and he is the judge of all. You know, in our day today, we also find people are apathetic, even so-called believers who are apathetic to this message. They know it in their minds. They know the message of Christianity, and yet it doesn't stir the heart in any way. But the message of Christianity is that he is the judge of all, that salvation is in no other. He is the means in which anyone can receive forgiveness of sins. God's not going to favor one type of human more than another. Religious rituals are not necessary. Salvation is by grace. Repentance and salvation is found only in him. The way of sanctification is not through religious rituals, but it is through Jesus Christ. In our day, we too are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the main testimony of the church to bear witness to the resurrection of Christ. The believer knows that he lives because a change has happened in the believer's life. What is that change that happens in the believer's life? There is conviction, first of all, that God exists, that he is revealed in nature, he's revealed in history, he's revealed in scripture, and he's revealed in Jesus Christ. There is conviction of sin. Sin is rebellion against God, and there's conviction in the heart of people, in the heart of a believer, that they have been in rebellion against God. They have cried out, "My will, not God's will be done." They have set up idols in their hearts. There's a realization that sin is an addiction, a slavery. It is something that they're chained to, and they cannot break the chains that bind them to sin. There is conviction that God raised Jesus from the dead. You know, that changes everything. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then salvation is possible, and it is only possible through him. If Jesus was raised from the dead, then it means that the chains of sin can be broken. And now, instead of being bound to the chains of sin, there's an understanding that we are bound to Jesus Christ. There is the desire to be bound to him, a desire to be a slave, a servant, if you want to say it that way, to Jesus Christ, to be attached to him, to be identified to him, to be bound to him. There is conviction that Christ can change the heart. He can sanctify me. There is a desire for God to change the character, my character, and change the heart. There is conviction to follow him. For we read in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is a desire to know him, a desire to fellowship with him, a desire to spend time with him. There is fruit that can only be attributed to the power of Christ. The question is this your testimony? Can you say that this is your testimony? I can say it's mine. I know I'm not a perfect person. I know I still struggle with sin, but I wholeheartedly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I wholeheartedly believe that he can change my heart and change my character, and he can make me holy. I wholeheartedly believe that he is both Lord and Christ, and that he is my high priest, and he is my savior, and he is my shepherd. And like Paul said to King Agrippa, I can say now in Acts 26 and verse 29, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except these chains. These are the speeches in the book of Acts, and they tell us a great amount of what's important in Christianity. Not only things to learn, but things that we must put into practice as the Holy Spirit convicts us of what it means to be a believer and what it means to live for him in this day. It's not about a Christian lifestyle. It's not about being involved in politics. It's not about trying to change the social agendas of the nations in which we live. It's about proclaiming the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and what he can do to a sinful heart, a heart that's been enslaved so long to sin that they just follow naturally the ways of unrighteousness. But in Christ, he has done a marvelous work. He has changed the heart and given us new desires, a desire for righteousness, a desire to live for him, not a desire for revenge, not a desire for envy, not a desire for other things, but a desire to be always bound up together with him. And so we come to the end of the book of Acts. It's very interesting in the final verses that Paul had the freedom to move around for the time he was there to preach the message of the gospel, no hindrances at all. Is it possible that he met with Caesar, that he brought his case there and found, like they did in the in Caesarea, that there was no cause for him to be arrested, and that he was given freedom to preach the gospel wherever he went? We know eventually he was martyred for his faith, but he had this freedom to go about and proclaim the gospel, and we have that freedom today as well. Regardless of any circumstances that arise in our nations and in politics and in the social order, the gospel of Jesus Christ can still be proclaimed and must be proclaimed for the glory of God. And so these are the speeches. And we come to the book of Acts, and we come now into our day. And the question is, what are we doing to follow along the messages that were preached in the book of Acts? Are we carrying out the mission of the church by proclaiming this good news to the ends of the earth and to the places where we live today? Let's pray. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, that we would not be apathetic to the message of Christianity. Even as believers, we realize we can be. We can be so discouraged because of issues that have happened in our past. We can be weighed down with weights that cause us to not want to move forward. We can have sin in our lives that cause us to not want to pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We can be just simply plain weary and tired because of all the experiences and the persecutions and the sufferings that we have gone through in our lifetime. But our Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts, that we would be men and women of faith, and would continue to carry out this wonderful message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses even in our day, for you have done a work in our lives. And we pray that despite discouragement, despite traumas and difficulties, that we would continue to go forward and proclaim that message in ways that you direct. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Steve Temple's out to Iowa. Really enjoy that message. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.